I did promise a lot of virus-based news today, Norman, and you've got some really interesting information for us about influenza B, the lesser celebrated of the two kind of bands of influenza, in my opinion.
Yes.
Celebrated is probably the wrong word.
Elevate it this week. This comes from the Doherty Institute in Melbourne, and they have a laboratory there devoted to T cells. So there's two kinds of immune responses. Three kinds of immune responses. We've already talked about inflammation, which is non-specific. It's the barrage which is set up when something's attacking, but it's not specific until the body learns what's attacking. Then you can get a specific response. And when you get specific responses to a virus, there's two kinds. There's antibodies, which are really soluble molecules in your blood, which attach to the virus and help to kill it. Then what's called the cellular response, T cells, killer T cells in particular, which are the soldiers, physical soldiers, which then attack the virus as well.
I would like to refer people back to our very recent episode of What's That Rash, in which Norman described the immune system using characters from The Godfather. If you're not subscribed to What's That Rash, I recommend it just for that explanation alone.
That's right. Probably call the antibodies the consigliere, and these are the lads with the guns. The Doherty Institute, again, a few days ago, released an important paper looking at a problem which we all know about, which is that our influenza vaccine has to change every year because the flu virus changes every year. Can you find a part of the flu virus that doesn't change every year, which means that maybe an influenza vaccine lasts several years rather than just one, and you don't have to change it all the time? So it's, you know, like polio or measles, that sort of vaccine. And they've focused on influenza B.
We hear a lot about influenza A. There's a lot of different strains of it. Influenza B sort of feels like the other one. What do we know about its impact?
Well, influenza A tends to be the form of the virus which circulates in animals. You hear a little bit more of this in a minute. Because it circulates in animals, it's the one that's associated with pandemics. And it's the majority of influenza cases. But a significant percentage, anywhere between 25 and even 50% of cases of flu, can be influenza B. Influenza B can be serious, particularly in young people, but it's considered less toxic than the influenza A. But nonetheless, it causes a lot of hospitalizations, it causes some deaths. And it's one of the forms of the virus in the vaccine. So our annual influenza vaccine always contains influenza B. And what the Doherty Institute has found with influenza B is an unchanged part of the virus that could inform what's called a universal influenza vaccine. The head of the Human T Cell Laboratory at the Doherty Institute is Professor Catherine Kajerska.
Immunity responses to influenza B viruses are largely understudied, and that's because influenza B viruses, they do not have prominent animal reservoirs that enable influenza reassortment and emergence of a totally new influenza strain with pandemic potential.
So on one side, it's good news. It's not a likely source of the next pandemic, but it's still a significant cause of illness and indeed death. But we have a vaccine against influenza B. I mean, the annual vaccine this year is two influenza A's and one influenza B. Are you saying that the vaccine doesn't work as well on B as it does on A?
The current influenza vaccines primarily rely on antibodies that target only specific strain of both influenza A and influenza B viruses. However, as influenza viruses continuously change, this necessitates frequent updates due to mutations of the virus. However, we looked at immune cells called killer T cells that recognize predominantly unchanged parts of the virus that remain unchanged. And that's why they form long-lasting memory. They can remember the virus. Even if the virus changes, those killer T cells can provide substantial level of protection.
So this is the holy grail in influenza vaccines, which they've failed to achieve in influenza A, is to avoid changing the vaccine every year. Can you find some constant part of the virus that you can attack? Like COVID-19, the spike, even though that does change a lot, in influenza A, there's no constancy that they've been able to find. And what you've been able to find is a constant part of the virus that might be able to translate into a vaccine.
That's right. So identification of viral fragments that remain unchanged in the virus history bring us a step closer to the universal influenza vaccine. In our work, we focus on virus fragments that trigger strong killer T cell responses, and identification of such conserved parts of the virus is the holy grail of the universal influenza vaccine that would not require annual reformulation and annual vaccination. Many groups around the world are searching for immune responses that are directed towards such unchanged parts of the virus, and we have now contributed to this knowledge.
As far as I'm aware, there are no T-cell vaccines. There are such things called T-cell vaccines, which stimulate the cells rather than the antibodies for influenza. How big a jump is it to move to the vaccine stage?
We've seen with some of the COVID vaccines that they elicit really strong killer T cell responses, which is exciting. And I think as a next step, we can design influenza vaccines that can potentially elicit T cell. We discovered 9 viral fragments, which provoked strong T cell immunity and remained unchanged. Until now, only 18 of such viral fragments had been identified, and some of them by my group previously. So that brings us to the total to 27. And we think with those 27 viral fragments, we will have a really good population coverage globally, but that remains to be tested.
Does this give you any clues that might have been missed in influenza A, that you might go looking in influenza A for unchanged parts that have hitherto been ignored?
Over the last few years, my team has also been working on identification of influenza A fragments that remain conserved, and we are making progress in that field too.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, look forward to catching up with you when you progress this to the more applied stage.
Thank you so much.
Professor Catherine Kajerska, who is head of the Human T-Cell Laboratory at the Doherty Institute. I need to correct something or clarify something that I said in the interview, which I said that this year's vaccine has 2A and 1B. It actually has 2A and 2B, but one of the Bs, which we talked about at the time, is actually extinct. It's not circulating anymore. So it's really effectively 3. That was my get out of jail on my mistake earlier.
From a practical perspective, as someone who mainly receives vaccines and doesn't research them, it's really interesting, but if I'm going to get a shot anyway, does it matter if I get one and done or if I just get it every year?
No, this is not about effectiveness of vaccine. This is about one day getting a vaccine which you don't have to change every year. And so you get one and it will last for however long it lasts, but the manufacturers don't have to produce a new one every year and scrabble around and wonder if it's going to work every time. So the current vaccine works as well for B as it does for A in the current setup. It's just a question of this holy grail, to use the word that we both used in that interview, of getting to a vaccine that's just like polio, measles, or most of the other vaccines, which doesn't have to change from time to time. And the key thing here is, given that Doherty has contributed so dominantly to this research, whether the ultimate vaccine would actually be produced in Australia and we benefit from this economically as well as scientifically.
Do we have the facilities for something like that?
We do. As we talked earlier, Moderna's got an mRNA facility in there. We've got CSL. We are a major vaccine producer. So we've got the capacity to do it.